Right after the book of Proverbs, let's all stand as we read one verse and pray. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. I call your attention to verse 5. Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is a time and judgment. Therefore the misery of man is great upon him, for he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? He talks about time, then he talks about accountability to that time, judgment. I'd like us to think this morning on how you're spending for God in your life. How are you spending your time? How are you spending your life? What's it all about in your life? We'll see what the Word of God says this morning. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that we have a perfect book. You've given that to us. It's pure, inerrant, infallible. We can believe every word of it. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us a mind to be able to read, comprehend, and apply. And Lord, that we might change our mind, that is, to repent. And Lord, that we might use our lives for you. Bless us as we study your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. May you be seated. You get some wisdom where it talks about every purpose in verse 6. So we find out that life does have a purpose to it. Not too many people find out the purpose of life. It's the purpose of your life. What do you spend your life doing? You know, it's not a good life if you just get up in the morning, rush off to work, spend 8 or more hours at work, come home, you have a bite to eat, some type of entertainment, go to bed, get up the next morning, repeat, repeat, repeat. Is your life repeat? Is that what your life is? Yeah, we should have a schedule. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have a schedule. But what do we schedule into our life? What are we living for? What are we spending our life for? Because you understand that every second that goes by, that's history. You don't get it back. You don't get back the words I just said. That's history. And you don't know what's in the future. It talks about that there. So the only thing you can control is the present. What you're doing now. How are you spending your time? Spending your life. Because you are spending it. You see, everybody has an appointment with God. There is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment, Hebrews 9:27 says. So you have an appointment to keep with God. One day he'll take away your life. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
That's life, folks. So you will give an account in the future for how you spend your life. You are spending it. Time is your life. When time's up, your life's up. So we need to look at that this morning. Kind of be wise about it. Let's go to the book of Job, Job chapter 7. We use a lot of scripture in a Bible-believing church. We believe every word. We want to see every word. We don't believe anything that isn't in the Bible. Amen. You got an opinion, you got a theory, whatever, give me book, chapter, and verse, and I'll be happy. God says it. He's the one that doesn't lie. I can trust him. Amen. Job chapter 7, verse 6. Job says, "My days are swifter than a weevil's shuttle, and they are spent without hope." Go to chapter 9, Job. Chapter 9 of Job, verse 25. "Now my days are swifter than a post." He's talking about like a post office when they used to have people run with the mail. He was a post. Now we call them postmen. "They flee away. They see no good. They are passed away as swift ships, as an eagle that hastes to the prey." In other words, he says it's swift twice, doesn't he? Job, the book of Job, the oldest book in the Bible. And it deals with suffering. It deals with the negative in life. Starts off in Job chapter 1, everything, how everything's great. He's rich, he's multimillionaire, got all kinds of cattle and everything. And one day, 10 kids are killed. Lost all his fortune. And he comes down with boils and everything on his body. No doctor to go to. And he suffers all the way through. And it's all about the purpose of life. Because after he suffered, then God blessed him. Blessed him at the end of the book of Job. It all deals with our subject this morning. Look at chapter 14, Job 14. Now, we've had plenty of time to sing, discuss, talk. Now's the time to listen. If you talk, you can't listen. So now's the time to get sober. It doesn't mean that you're drunk any other time. It says sober thinking. Think about life. Think about your life. Think about what's really going on around you. Everything the Bible deals with it. Look at Job 14, verse 1. It says, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." It says, "He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringest me into judgment with thee?" And it goes on to talk through that. We won't take the time to do it. Calling your attention to these passages is important for you to see. Go to the book of Psalms, the middle book of the Bible. The next book, Psalm, verse 90. Book of Psalm, chapter 90. Call your attention to verse 9. "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. That'll make it 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Look at verse 12 right there. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So in context, don't ever take the Bible out of context. In context, it's talking about spending our life. Are you spending it wisely or as a fool? The Lord knows there's the population of fools on the earth is great. Those that truly get wisdom from God, God's book, got to get the right book in the first place, then you got to get wisdom out of it by reading it, hearing it, studying it, applying it, doing it. That should be your life. Wisdom. Apply that wisdom to how you live, how you spend your life. Go to Psalm 31. Psalm 31, please. Let God speak to you this morning, because your life is precious. And guess what? I'm concerned in your life. I'm concerned about your soul. I wouldn't be a good pastor if I wasn't. Psalm 31, verse 10. Says, for my life is spent. Do you notice that word spent in every verse that we're talking about? For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of my iniquity, because of your own sin. And my bones are consumed. We could go on, but you get the whole idea. Life is full of trouble. Storms in life. You get death. The people that are close to you. Some of us have buried our loved ones. I do funerals from time to time. One of our church members, Al. Al Johnson. Passed away. Did his funeral. His wife, Jane, continues, grieved for a while, just like everyone should. Then back in church and continuing on, getting strength from the Lord. And her mother, Vivian, is here. Now she's 98 years old. She got a lot further than 70, that the Bible says is an average. Amen. 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 What are you spending your life for? Spend, spend, spend. You only got so much time. What are you going to spend it on? Go back to Genesis 28, please. Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. Context here is about Jacob. And of course, you know what came from Jacob. 12 sons. The tribes of Israel are named after Jacob's sons, because God changed Jacob's name to Israel when he had this encounter with God. Pick it up at verse 20. It says, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee the tenth unto thee. The tenth, it's called a tithe. Bible teaches the tithe. And that's not only with our income. I believe that applies to every part of our life. You saw the verses, and there's many more, that talk about spending your life. Because it only lasts for a little time, like a vapor, it vanishes away. You wonder where the years go. You see, I got a 75-year-old body, but my mind is in the 20s. Amen? I remember what I could do at 20. I can only bench press 150 right now. Back in the 20s, it was a lot bigger than that. And on it goes. But anyway, this is what he said. As long as I'm alive, I'm fed and everything, healthy and all of that, and you give me some day, I'm going to live my life for you. I'm going to give everything that you give me, Lord. I'm going to give 10% back to you. A tenth. It's some prayer. Let's figure out, seeing our life is time, how do you spend your time? Well, in a week, I mean every day, figure it out, you got 24 hours, right? Now you're going to sleep 8, maybe. We'll be soft on that with you. So you got 16 hours a day under your control, right? To do something. Anybody alive out there? Amen. Yeah, I'm with you. Okay. What you thinking? So times 16 times 7 days in a week, let's make it for a week. That's 112 hours. So in your week, do you give God a tithe of your life, awake time, 112, tenth of that would be how many hours? Any math majors? Just move that decimal point over one, you got a tenth. Okay, 11 hours, round it off. Do you use 11 hours a week out of your life about God? Let's see. We have a morning service, including Sunday school, that'll go 3 hours in the morning. Amen. We got an evening service at 2, or in the evening. That's 2 hours. Everybody adding this up? We got a Wednesday service. We'll spend 2 hours. I'm being very liberal with this. Usually only here an hour and a half or so. Soul winning, trying to reach others for the Lord. That's another 2 hours. So that's 10. So even if you go ahead and come to church and work for God in a good Christian's life. And we know there's many backslidden liberal Christians out here, that's for sure. They don't hear preaching. They don't get in the book. They don't even know what the book is. But a good Christian, we're going to make 11 hours? That's a tenth. 11.2. How do you spend your life? Disraeli says, he who gains time gains everything. Goethe says, one always has enough time if one will apply it well. An inch of gold will not give an inch of time. You just living for finances? Well-arranged time is the surest mark of a well-arranged mind. Arrange your time. The difference between a 50,000-year executive and a 10,000-year executive is simply the value of time. Resolve in your mind that you want to manage your time. Understand the nature of time. Time is active. It always moves forward. It never stands still or moves backwards. It must be used now. Realize in that same alternative to establish your priorities before you can properly manage your time. What are you doing with your time? You see, Jacob, that we read back in Genesis 28 there, he took a stone, made a pillow. He's there alone. He anointed it with oil, and he slept, and he had a dream, tells you in the context. You can study it at home if you like. And he saw angels coming up and down a ladder in the heaven. You know, you get closer to God, you got to start climbing. We're not talking about salvation. You see, salvation is a free, absolute gift. It's by grace that we are saved. Hallelujah. Through faith. Grace, unmerited favor. We do not deserve salvation. We do not deserve to know for sure we're going to heaven when we die. We don't deserve it. We deserve heaven. We're sinners. But because of God's love and his grace, he reached down and saved this drunk, ruining his life, his marriage and so forth. And took all of that sin away. He forgave all of the sin. When I've committed unforgivable sins, God forgave it. Do I deserve that? Not in the least. I deserve nothing from God. But he gave me new life. Gave me purpose in life when I was born into his family, born again by faith. We are saved by grace through faith. So our salvation is secure. Can't lose it because it wasn't yours in the first place. You didn't earn it. It's free, so you can't lose it. God gave it to you. So from there, God starts working in your heart and your mind, changes your attitudes, it changes your want-tos. So you want to come to church. All I wanted to do is go to the bar and sit at the bar stool. Curse God, get in trouble. You name it. I did it. But God changed my heart, my life. My thoughts, my want-tos. I wanted to sit at a bar stool, now I want to come to church. I can't scratch my head if people say they're Christians don't want to come to church. Something doesn't sit right. I want to know the truth. I want to hear the truth. I want to be challenged in my life. Because God challenges me. He challenges everyone. You'll never grow. if you're not challenged to grow. Go to Ephesians 5, if you would, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Some thoughts for you this morning to deal with God and have God deal with your life. Ephesians, chapter 5. I've always said that there's the good way to attend church is to have three things with you. Is that right? Yeah, bring a King James Bible. Bring a pen so you can write in your King James Bible. And bring an offering to worship God. You got those three things to worship God. Important that we do. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. It says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Doing what? Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. God tells us how to live our lives. This was written to Christians in Ephesus. This isn't written to an unsaved. We get caught up in amusements, don't we? Everybody likes amusements. Go to an amusement park, you know. You ever think about that? What is it to muse? That's to think. Think over. Muse. What you're doing right now, you're musing. You're thinking about your life. You're thinking about time. All of this is what God said. Whenever you put an A in front of a word, amusements is something that takes away your thinking. Like moral and amoral, no morals. Like a theist, one that believes in God, and then you put an A in front of it, it's an atheist. No God. God says here, in the Word, there's two ways that you can walk in life. Verse 15. You can walk smartly, or you can walk as a fool. And you'll waste your time. God wants you to muse. God, He's not against all entertainment or amusements. He said circumspectly, keep it in order. Who controls your life? Computer with a bunch of games? TV? What's going to keep you away from church? What's going to keep you away from the Bible? Studying the Word of God at home? Growing in the things of God? Taking time to muse or going for amusements. Now, I'm a football nut. Everybody knows I'm a Buffalo Bill fan. I have to hang my head sometimes. Amen. But I love amusements just like anybody else. But a football game isn't going to keep me away from church. And I'm not talking about myself as a pastor. Obviously, I've got to be in church. But as a Christian, no amusement, no park, no relatives, no friends are going to keep me out of church. God comes first in my life. Amen. I just take a stand. If they don't like it, they'll have to lump it. God's my life. He's the Lord. What is He to you? What are you spending your life about? That's what I'm just asking. That's all. Look at Job 21. Job 21. Job chapter 21 and verse 13. Job 21, verse 13, they spend their days in wealth and in a moment go down to the grave. The Bible talks about wealth, talks about finances, talks about money. Can't avoid it. It's part of life. But what are you spending your life to do? Get a bunch of wealth? You're going to the grave. Okay? Nobody opts out of the grave. Okay? Amen? It's only by the grace of God we'll be raptured and taken out of here before we have to die. But you can't bank on that thing during your lifetime. You don't know. No one knows. Imminent return of Christ. Read 1 Thessalonians 4 sometime. So he talks about money. He talks about wealth. A tithe? 10% of my income? Boy, God's asking a lot, isn't he? Oh, yeah. He lets you keep 90%. Matter of fact, he gave you everything. Amen. He gave you 100%. Amen. He said, if you love me, just give me 10 back. That's the truth. How do you think any kind of ministry keeps going? Now, just like there's bad cops, there's bad, quote, ministers too. You can imagine who I'm talking about. Riding around in their limos and Cadillacs and everything else and $10 million houses and all this kind of stuff. No, I'm talking, that's the phony baloney, okay? Get back to the Bible, to real Christians, and you'll find out how they lived. They weren't living for money. What are you living for? Yeah, it's nice to have enough money to pay your bills. Amen. Put away some. Invest some. Be able to leave some to your relatives when you go to heaven. Amen. Do it wisely, not foolishly. How you spending your life is my question this morning. Go to Mark 5, if you would. Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Bring your Bible to church. Learn the books of the Bible. Get familiar with the truth. Means the most to you in your life. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. It says there, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians. Isn't that interesting? The doctors and hospitals are still the biggest bills that you're going to get. She spent her whole life. She spent all that she had, it says in verse 26, and was nothing bettered but rather worse. Isn't that familiar? When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch it but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue was gone out of him, turned and said about in the press, said, who touched my clothes? You know what? People in this life we see living foolishly, but they're billionaires. They're wicked people. Bill Gates. Yes. Facebook. All of these others. They hate the Bible. They hate church. They hate preachers. They hate Christians. Facebook will block a lot of things. Twitter will block. You check into these people. They're wicked, but they're billionaires. People live for all of the money they can get and leave their health go. So then they got to spend all of the millions that they got on the doctors and the physicians and everything else and die with a wretched body. That would be a fool. Mm-hmm. Watch out about how you live. What are you spending your life on? What are you spending your life for? Somebody said, as a matter of fact, Theodora, great Bible teacher, he said, live as though Christ died yesterday, rose from the grave today, and is coming back tomorrow. Yeah, amen. You don't know when Christ comes back in. How you spending your life? How much better it is to be honestly poor than questionably rich. What's life about to you? What is your life about? Are you saved? Do you know for sure without any doubt you're going to heaven when you die? Has nothing to do with your works. Has nothing to do with how good you are. Has to do with his grace and mercy. He shed his blood on the cross for you to cover your sins, my friend. So, we're talking about a tithe of money also. How about a tithe of strength? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Just how much time do you want to spend around godly people, godly preaching, godly book, reading, studying, letting God speak to you this morning? What's your life about? What do you spend your life on? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. Paul said, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. He said, I'm going to spend my life for people. God said, take care of the people. Amen. A lot of people, they like to only think of themselves, living selfish lives. All of the marriage counseling I've done over the years, it's always come down to selfishness. God said not to do that. Think of others. Even Paul said, I'm going to spend my life, my energy, my strength on you. Talking to the church of Corinth. Because I love you, even though you don't love me back. Yeah, amen. We need strength from above. Doing something that benefits you and others more than explaining why you cannot do it. It'll benefit you to try to help others in their lives. Because remember, we started off with Job and he said, it's only going to be a little time down here when I spend my life, and then judgment. I'm going to give an account. I'm going to give an account for my life. What I've done, what I haven't done. What are you filling your life with? I suggest working for the Lord. Amen. When I first got saved, didn't know the Bible, I thought an epistle was an apostle's wife. I didn't know what an epistle was. I didn't know anything. But 9 years later, he called me into the ministry. Now, I'd seen everything that my pastor had gone through with ungodly people and treating them bad and all that. And I told God, I'll never be a pastor, that's for sure, but whatever way you can use me, Lord, and I'll be a missionary or evangelist or whatever you say. I just yielded my life to him. He called me to be a pastor. Don't ever tell God what you won't do. So for 43 years I've been preaching as a pastor. When you work for the Lord, the pay may not be so hot, but you can't beat the retirement plan. Amen. What are you using your life for? One last thing. Go to Acts chapter 17, please. Acts 17, verse 18, we pick it up. Talking about Mars Hill here, if you're familiar with the Bible at all. Acts 17, verse 18, Paul says, then certain philosophers, watch out about philosophers, folks. That comes from the Greek word phileo. It's talking about coming from a man. Philosophy is all about what's in the unsaved man's mind. And he philosophizes about life. It's called a worldview. Watch out about philosophy. Anyway, he says he came upon certain philosophers. Of the Epicureans, of the Stoics, encountered him and said, what will this babbler say? Paul the preacher. Others, some, he seemed to be a setter forth of strange gods because he preached unto them the Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto the Areopagus. May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. In verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things, ye are too superstitious. Watch out about superstitious things. For as I passed by, I beheld your devotions and found an altar unto this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship him, declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things in it, seeing he is Lord of heaven, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and determine the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they may feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. How about how do you spend in your thought life? It's talking about thoughts. You're talking about philosophers. They sit around, you know, all these Eastern religions. You got Buddha, you know, big old fat Buddha. I'm getting like Buddha. But you get Buddha sitting up there in the big thing, you know, and they're going to have their prayer wheels and everything and stick the prayers in the brick and on and on and on and on. It goes with all of this, you know. So you got Buddhism, you got you got Islam, you got Confucianism, and he's still confused, Confucius is. And all of, you got every philosophy in the world. Paul comes unto Athens, and here's these philosophers, and they ignorantly worship the unknown God. I got news for you, brother. When you get your nose in the book and you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, and you see your undone condition as a sinner on your way to hell, you'll reach out by faith and you trust the Lord Jesus alone to get to heaven.
Hallelujah.
He'll give you a new life. He'll give you a new purpose in life. You'll spend your life doing different than you ever did.
Amen.
I talked this morning about spending for God, spending your time, spending your money, spending your strength, spending your thoughts. And I've got about 5 verses for every one of those points, but we've run out of time. I said the message was going to be short. Don't ever believe a preacher. One last verse, Luke chapter 15. Just believe me when I give you book, chapter, and verse, okay? Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Jesus giving the parable of the prodigal son. He said, a certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said unto a father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all his life, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Bad friends. And he sent him into the fields to feed the swine, the pigs, the hogs. And he fain filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose, came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. By the way, the father always sees you. And had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven. This took a lot of humility, didn't it? And in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called by thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring in his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost, but is found. And then began to be merry. How are you spending your life? Like a prodigal? Spending. Every day of your life you will be spending it somehow. You've seen what God approves of. Because God loves the unworthy sinner. And he's always ready with open arms to show his grace and love toward you. I pray that you'll make the right decision this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God of mercy. You are a God that says we need to live right.